morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And what another glorious day that we have in the dispensation of grace. And we're excited that you have joined us, whether it's through our internet ministries or here live this morning. We encourage you to come and visit us. And we're going to sing a song. If you have your red books, let's sing At the Cross. It's page 129. We'll sing 1 and 4, At the Cross. Choir did meet this week, so sometimes they don't show up, they just have the pianos.
At last, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote the sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But God's a grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, burning that my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Wonderful things happened at the cross, didn't it?
Amen.
You know, if it wasn't for the death, burial, and resurrection, you and I would never have life eternal, everlasting. Amen. Let's go to be turning. We did lesson 47. We did have some prayer requests and praise items that's on our hearts and minds, so we want to lift them back up to you guys that are listening. If you have any thoughts and prayers that you want to send us, please do. You can contact us by phone, email, snail mail, air mail, all kinds of mail. Anyway, we're in lesson 47. As we're studying the Word of God, right divided, many of you know how to understand the Word of God in times past, but now in ages to come. And in the beginning, God's Word says He created what? The heaven and earth. Okay? And God made a distinction right off the bat between heaven and earth. The heavens didn't come along to later on. But the thing is that God made a distinction. And what He does in the heaven is through the body of Christ. And what He's doing on earth is through the prophecy message through Israel's program. He's using Israel as a vehicle to get His message out. Now let me ask you something. Does God change?
Yeah.
He's the same yesterday, today, and when?
Forever.
He never changes, but the way He's dealt with man has changed. Man has changed. That's why we look at the Word of God dispensationally, and in God's Word there's a threefold division between times past, but now, and ages to come. You find that in Ephesians. We're working through the Bible, as you know, dispensationally. We're in the fundamentals of dispensationalism, and we worked our way through law, in times past, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still under law. A lot of people don't understand that, but before a death of a testator, there's no testament. So when did the Lord Jesus Christ die? First chapter in Matthew, right? No. He didn't die till last chapter Matthew, last chapter Mark, last chapter Luke, and last two chapters of John is where that you read about his death. So until he died, there's no testament. So Lord Jesus Christ was made under law, born of a woman made under law. So even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as we know, is still under law. Then you say, what about Acts? Well, what about Acts? What is Acts? Acts to the apostles. There's something moving there. There's some, you don't base your doctrine on the book of Acts. Many of us have. And 90% of your churches out there will base their beliefs somehow, some way, in the book of Acts. 90% of religion out there will base their belief in Acts chapter 2. You know, and we was talking about dispensationalism earlier today. Everybody is a dispensationalist to one degree or the other. You know, if you think about how to place it where God does some things, and we talk about Acts 2 dispensations. They believe the church, the body of Christ, started in Acts chapter 2. But what do you know about Acts chapter 2? Who was Peter talking to at Pentecost?
The Jews.
You men of Israel, you men of Judea. He was not talking to the Gentiles that was down here outside of the Commonwealth of Israel. But can a Gentile in times past be saved?
Yeah.
Yes. They had to go through Israel. God had a program in times past that through Israel, the world was going to be saved, and Israel was going to walk and talk and do everything what God told them to do. Did they do that?
No.
We found out that they fallen. When the Lord Jesus Christ showed up and at the right time, at the right place, God's program, did they recognize him as their Messiah, the King of the Jews? Or the Messiah, God's son?
No,
they did not. Did some of them?
Yes.
So you can't say that there was no people being saved back there. They was. Remember, let's put it this way. Lord Jesus Christ talked about that his children must be fed first in order to feed somebody. Y'all do understand that. You know, it's better to help somebody on a full stomach than it is you weak and hungry and trying to give them food. Okay? We talked about the airplane things. They said when the oxygen mass falls, what did they tell you to do? Put it on your neighbor first, right?
No.
You put it on you first, then you help somebody else. That's what that program was about over here. God was working through Israel, and through Israel, they're going to help get the word out. Then in Acts chapter 2, Peter's up here. He's talking to the Jews, and that what's getting back is, let me refresh it. People said the church started there. But does it not say in your Bible that it was added to the church? So if something was added to in Acts chapter 2, is that something that just started? Mm-hmm. The people that's being saved here is being placed in that kingdom church to go over here. So when Acts chapter 2, Israel starts to fall, they diminish and they cast away. By Acts 28, they're down here. So with dispensationalism, you have Acts chapter 2, you have mid-Acts, Pauline truths, from 9 to 13, 14. Then you have Acts 28. So that's three types of dispensationalists you find in the book of Acts, and everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. You either rightly divide the word of truth, wrongly divide the word of truth, or you don't divide at all. And that's what the majority of people out here in Christendom, they will not divide the word of truth. Then we work through Paul's mystery program, Romans through Philemon. There is no distinction between bond male, bond free, male, female. Today, there's no distinction about Jew, Gentile. Okay? Everybody down here is lost. And they have to come to understand the Savior. What Christendom does is they'll say, okay, you need to become part of God's program because they understand what God was doing out here, making that distinction. They try to bring you up to become a spiritual Jew, and there's no such thing. So in Paul's epistles, you find out that there's no, everybody's down here. So the only gospel that saves the day is that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Peter now is talking about repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, and you speak in tongues. Are they the same thing?
No.
We have people today will tell you have to repent, be baptized for remission of sins to be saved, and never hit that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. So the message today and the but now is that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Then we're called out of here. And after that, we're called out here. God goes back, and this is where we're at in Hebrews. God goes back and goes back dealing with a distinction again. Israel comes back up here. The Gentiles back down here. So when we looked at last lesson, and you can go back and look at all lessons, the book of Hebrews is explaining the cross to Israel takes them from the old covenant to a new covenant. That old covenant back over here, it don't amount to anything over here anymore. It's done. They go from the Messianic covenant to the Masonic covenant. So God, so the book of Hebrews, as we're looking at this time period right now, as we go through, we understand that this seven church epistles, or the nine, we call them what? Hebrews epistles. We call these Pauline epistles, church epistles. Both of them's church epistles, but you better know which church you're talking about here. Okay, so Hebrews, as we was explaining the book of Hebrews to things, Hebrews, wonder who it's written to.
Hebrews.
Thank you. Hebrews. Paul, you know, knows, Paul always talked about grace and peace. That's how he opened all his epistles. So Hebrews opened up God. So God wrote Hebrews to Hebrews. Then James written to 12 tribes scattered abroad. What tribe are you in today? Hey, I've done all my DNA. I've searched it back. I have no Hebrew in me. So I'm out. I'm not even a tribe.
You can put Indian.
You can have some Hebrews today can't tell you what tribe they're out of. Mm-hmm. So when you think about this a little bit, Hebrew emphasized the just shall live by faith. And the faith with which rests in the understanding of Jesus Christ as Israel's Redeemer. So they're going to take over here in ages to come. By the way, if you close this up right here, close this up. I'll get this straight. This is your Bible in prophecy. And this is all about the prophetic program using Israel's focus and going over here to the kingdom. The promise that Abraham would live forever, where's his forever at? Where's his kingdom at? Where's his eternal life at? Over here in the land. Okay? You don't see the body of Christ there. The body of Christ is not even prophesied. It was hid in God before the foundations of the world. I like to think that the dispensation of grace of God was made way back over here before God created heaven and earth. He had the body of Christ in mind. He had the dispensation in mind, and he kept secret in him. Now, how many can keep a secret? It's hard to. You know, today we are faithful not to keep a secret. You know, the mystery that was kept secret before the world began, you need to tell people about this mystery. You need to tell people a secret, faithful to tell the secret. I remember a time, many of you know what Shriners are, many of you know what Masons, you know who the Shriners are? They had a big parade, the Shriners, the ones with the funny hats and plays around with goat carts and stuff. Well, my daddy-in-law was one of them. And they had a parade in down home in Abingdon. And me and my wife had an umbrella that said, mystery, faithful to tell the secret, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. And they came up, oh, that's good. And I said, it says faithful to tell the secret. And they took off. They keep things in secrecy. That's what I'm trying to say. There's organizations and there are religious groups out there secret. We are faithful to tell the secret. But what was spoken before the world began is not made known here. And there's people out there who will try to tell you Abraham knew this dispensation of grace of God, but he just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
It was hid in God. And I always tell people this. There's one creature, well, Daniel was wise, was he not? Solomon was wise. You can find wise people in the Bible, but who is wiser than them? Who knows that Bible far better than you and I do right now? Satan does. If Satan had known what God was going to do at the accomplishment of the cross, he would not have crucified the Lord's glory. Mm-hmm. And that might be strange to your ears right now, but God took him out on his own craftiness. Mm-hmm. So he hid the dispensation of grace, and when you open this up, this is what God is doing today. But when we were taken out of here, God goes back to this program over here. You have Jews up here, Israelites up here. You have Gentiles down here. Now, what does Gentile mean?
Nations.
So we're all Gentiles in Paul's eyes. And when Paul, let me ask you this before we get back over here. It may seem like I'm jumping a little bit. What was Paul's nature when he went into the city? Where did he go first?
Synagogue.
Why? Why would he go to the Jews? Why would he go to the synagogues when there was Corinth out there and Ephesus out there? All these cities of a bunch of heathen, paganism worshipers.
At least they had some knowledge of the Bible to work with.
What was
they
that?
Were lost.
They was lost. Bingo. That's why he went, and when he met, if you take Acts chapter 15 and Galatians chapter 2, the reason why Paul met with Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars of the church, is the fact that people was going into churches, that Paul established, and telling them, basically saying, it's okay that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you've got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses or you're lost. That's what Acts 15 is. So he's like, wait a minute now. Who's telling you this? And I can't help to think that how many times have you shared the glorious gospel of the grace of God to people and say, all you have to do is trust Christ, died for your sins, buried, and rose again, plus nothing else. You mean that's all I got to do? Mm-hmm. By faith, you trust that, trust nothing else. And they're like, and I'm like, you're saved. You put in your, and they get, and then they go around Aunt Pearl, Grandma Yarber, you know, that. And they said, oh, but you got to be baptized. Hmm. And you got to join this church. And we need to see your W-4.
Yeah, but it's...
You know, so you think about all this stuff and you're like, that's not what I... And they come back to you, you're going to come to my baptism? You know, I'm just saying that because it's true. That's the thing was going on back here. So when he went and met with Peter, James, and John, they agreed that you go to the heathen, and Peter, James, and John would stay with the circumcision. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. So when Paul goes to these synagogues outside the little flock, now little flock, he's not going into those churches that Peter, James, and John established. They're kingdom churches. They're already there. He goes into the synagogues and he reasoned with them out of scriptures about what? Jesus Christ. And they're like, and some of them, he looked at some of them, he goes, I'm knocking the dust off my feet. Your blood's on you. Why? Because they were so conformed to that idolatrism that they wouldn't understand the word of God. Now, if you walked into a church today, outside of this one, and you took your Bible in there, and you walked up to the preachers, and you say, this is to Israel, this is the body of Christ, God gave through Paul the dispensation of grace of God. The dispensation of kingdom is Peter, James, and John. They would just throw their arms around you and praise you and say, welcome, brother.
Show you the door.
Right? No, you know that not to be true. They're going to give you the right foot of fellowship. So, you know, so that's why you talk to people about one-on-one. If the building's burning on fire, don't you want to go in and rescue them? That's the nature. Get these people out of there. And so the thing is, I wouldn't want to encourage you to study the Word of God the right way. But Paul goes in there, knowing that they don't know this gospel, the grace of God. He shares what Jesus Christ was, the Son, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that you died, he died, buried, and rose again, according to the what? Scriptures. And then he most of them like got saved. That's how he started the churches. Then when we're at, getting fast forward a little bit, back over here. So we're in Hebrews through Revelation. What books are those for? Who you think those books are to?
Israel.
For what purpose?
Prepare them for the wrath to come.
It's going to prepare them so when they open up the book of Hebrews, it's going to show them that they stand by faith. They're going to say, Hebrews explains the accomplishment of what Jesus Christ did at the cross, just like Romans does for us in the dispensation of grace. Hebrews is a book of doctrine, just like Romans is a book of doctrine for us. Mm-hmm. If you want to know how you're saved today, first five chapters of Romans, it's about justification. Forever settled. Paul does not ever bring up about your salvation, losing your salvation, justification, ever again after Romans chapter 5. Same way with Hebrews. And that faith is resting on understanding that Jesus Christ is as Israel's Redeemer and what the cross was accomplished for them. Do you ever notice that James, you know what James says? You can correct me if I'm wrong, but Martin Luther, didn't he say he wanted to tear the book of James out and burn it? Why?
He didn't know how to write it.
Works. Yeah, works and stuff. You're like, okay, faith without works, faith with works. Paul says this, James says this. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, he should have came out and said, if you rightly divide the word of truth, James fits where it needs to be. And James chapter 2, verse 21, faith goes on to perfection. And James chapter 2, verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made what?
Perfect.
That book is going to make them go on to perfection. It's going to tone them a little bit. It's going to be their reproof. Okay? Hey, you didn't feed your brother? You didn't clothe the brother? You better get right. And it's a correction book. James was concerned with the works necessary to get into the kingdom. This book is a sort of a exposition of the Sermon on the Mount. You know what the Sermon on the Mount is? The Beatitudes. When Jesus Christ, every time he went up on a mount, you know what that was a picture of?
Kingdom.
On a throne over here. So when you read these Beatitudes, it's going to fit in right over here how they're going to conduct themselves as law-abiding citizens. And when you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and compare it to James, it might behoove you. Like, whoa, this is what it's working on. Notice how James seems to be expounding the constitution of the kingdom, describing the citizens of the kingdom, how they are going to live, and the responsibilities kingdom saints are going to have for one another. Makes sense. And this was the conduct James is concerned about. He says faith will be made perfect by works. Now look, you know, we base our faith on plus nothing else, right? No works, okay? But don't you want to do good work? Mm-hmm. As a member of the body of Christ today, don't you want to have good works? Don't grace teach us to what? Deny ungodliness. And we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. That's what grace teaches us. We want to do things. We don't want to be a stumbling block. I've been a stumbling block half my life. I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. And the faith of those Hebrews is going to go on perfection by bringing forth the proofs of their faith and works necessary to get in that kingdom. They're going to say, show it to me.
Didn't you say that you think most of these Hebrew epistles were written before Paul even wrote one?
Well, most of them was. Well, I don't know. we'll talk about, maybe talk about that in a minute. But let me correct this. 99% of these epistles over here was written before Paul finished his. Paul penned the last book, okay? Mm-hmm. Timothy, mm-hmm. Okay? All right. What they could say Revelation was, what, 90 AD? That's era. That's era. So after they have faith and confidence in the blood of Christ and understand what the cross has accomplished for them, that Jesus Christ is the better alternative, the better sacrifice, the better promise, the better hope, the better resurrection, the better covenant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He is the better of all of that stuff they could do. And they put that faith in that, and then their faith expresses itself in the outward expression of bringing forth the works necessary for Israel to go into the kingdom. The issue in 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, is the trying of their faith. Okay? Notice I said trying of their faith. These books are not to us. All the Bible is for us, but not all of it's to you. We say this all the time. It's illegal for me to go and waltz, pull up in his driveway, open his mailbox, see a letter addressed to Walt, open it up, and apply it to myself. And if there's something in there, like a check or something, I'll put it in my pocket. Guess what I just did?
Stole.
Committed larceny. When you take something that's not your mail, and whether it's time past or ages to come, and you apply it to your spiritual life, you just committed larceny, spiritual larceny. And you better thank God today that he's not down here spanking you or open up the earth and swallowing you for being a bad dude. See, that's what I think what the world's not seeing today, just because they don't see that happening. They believe there's no God. I had people long before there was Facebook, long before they used to be Yahoo chat groups. And I was, you know, I would always be in these, I'd go into Jewish, usernames, dispensator. And dispensator, when I met Brian down there, he said, you're dispensator. And the thing is, dispensator means proclaimer. We all should be dispensators, okay? So I'd use that word. I couldn't use Brother Ed going in a Jewish chat room. They knew who I was, a Christian. Boop. So I used dispensator, proclaimer. And you typing this stuff in there about using God's word, and they'd like, you and your paper God. That's what they called this. You know, is God, he... You know, he magnify his word above his name. So do we use paper? God's writes it, you know what I mean? So I didn't take offense of that, but I knew what they was making fun of because they couldn't get me anywhere else because I was using scriptures. So when you think about the trial of faith, you have to use it. And knowing that when you do good works in the body of Christ, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't do it to keep your salvation or work out your, well, you got to work out your salvation, but what, you know what I'm saying? You don't do it to gain your salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. All through 1 Peter, you read about the trying of your faith. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom, what, he may devour. That's something that happens over here. It sure looks like it's happening today in a way, don't it? But is he really devouring you? You have to stand and withstand. You have the whole armor of God that you can put on right now, and this 8 pounds of gray mass between these two ears, if you don't get that right and lined up with God, that's where the attack is. Mm-hmm. The battle is right here. So he's not devouring like he's going to devour over here. But he can attack you. Satan, he's not devouring people, but he literally will in the tribulation period. Literally. He's going to be so mad. Now, he's mad right now. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. He is mad. He's furious that you can be saved by trusting what he had happened over here. You know, that's why I said on onslaught in Corinthians when he says, if the princes of this world have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you're like, I showed that my sister one time. She goes, what? I said, yeah. Because why? What does the mystery program expose that was not made known? Was it?
Grace.
Not on grace, but what is going to happen? What does God do with this body of Christ when it's all said and done?
He's going to boot him out of the heavens, and we're going to get there.
There you go. See, so right now, we talk about the God of this world, the little g of this world. You know who that is? He's running the shows out there. He's also known as the prince and power of the air. And there's three heavens. You got the blue skies, you got to where stars are, and then where God is at. Mm-hmm. The first and second heaven, Satan has control of. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the body of Christ is going to go in those positions up there, and he don't like that. That's why he didn't really mind Jesus Christ dying. Okay? And bearing rose again. But what Jesus Christ says first, he ascended above all. Jesus is above all of it right now, and Satan lost that battle too. But it's going to come a time, and Satan's just looking around. And in this book, we read about the hope these people have beyond the fiery trial of their faith during the period in the kingdom to come. They endure that because of what lies ahead. They have hope over here, guys. We have hope. We know what lies ahead, or you should know what lies ahead. Hey, are you scared to die? They're not going to be scared to die. Go ahead. I keep thinking about Lazarus. After they raised him up from the dead, they went to party, and the people was looking inside trying to figure out how they're going to kill Lazarus again. And he's probably thinking, well, go ahead. He'll just raise me up from the dead again. The issue in 2 Peter chapter 1, is to grow in understanding of present truths so they would have a sure confidence in their hope. The basis of their hope is the Word. And it has to be what God says. It can't be what man says. Listen, there's going to be a man over here running the show going to try to convince them everything in the world. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in what? The present truth. What present truth is Peter talking about? He's not talking about Pauline truths. Listen, we're already out of here. And I have a feeling that when we're out of here, there are going to be people over here trying to say, you got to believe what Paul said. Mm-hmm. Because aren't there people in the dispensation of grace that says, you got to believe what Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have you ever read what they're to believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They couldn't do it. So what makes you think that you can do it? Oh, your preacher told you to. You're going to believe your preacher over the Word of God. Listen, those things over here, when you read the book of Matthew, it's pertaining to this time period over here. It ain't pertaining to right now. And then in the verses, look at verses 15 through 21. The testimony. He tells them their testimony is not based on their ideas. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we were made known, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when they came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation. How many times have you heard that when you share dispensational truth? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they was moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, in Paul's epistle, it says all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, right? You know, God don't waste his breath. So when he spoke these words, he means it. He just didn't just blurt out anything. They were there, Peter was talking about. They saw him transfigured. However, their testimony is not based on experiences that they have. You notice that? Oh, we did this and did that. But the thing is, they had a more sure word of prophecy. And scriptures is more trustworthy than your word. Now, I jokingly say sometimes you have Satan word, you have God's word, and you have Ed word. Or your word. The word, your word means something. And in the garden, what did God, what did Satan do? What did he start attacking? The word. The word. And he introduced human viewpoint. And if you don't think your human viewpoint is powerful than Satan and God's word, you're fooling yourself. Because you can convince yourself this ain't true. Where's he at? I'm better off being my own God. That's what these institutions teach. And if you got children, if you got grandchildren, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you better watch what you sign when you put them in school. I don't care what school it is. You better make sure that you're reading every word upon word, every precept upon precept before you sign that dotted line, because they'll teach your kids anything they want to teach. I didn't give permission. Yes, you did. You signed it right here. So you have to have words, and it's got to be scriptures. When we talk truth, we want to line up with what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen. And 2 Peter chapter 2, he goes on to explain to them in chapter 2 and 3 about the false doctrine that will come against them and how they must prepare. Peter starts to understand some things over here, what they're going to go up against. Paul was writing some things to the body of Christ that you're going to have to stand and withstand. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But they were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter's telling the people over here, when you go through here, they're going to be false doctrines. You think they are false doctrines? Yes. There's a false God up here right now. You think he's going to give you good news or fake news? It's going to be lies. So the false doctrine is going to be out there. You think it's going on today in the religious system? You better believe it. He goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and many shall follow these, was that pernicious? Was that
pernicious?
Pernicious ways. You know, I can sit there and hit that speak button on my, you know, highlight it, and it will sound that word out, and I keep forgetting it. But thank God, I don't have to hit the button, I got you guys. But wait, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingered not, and their damnation slumbered not. Look, what they're going to do, make merchandise of them. They're going to corral them, convince them to do human good. Human trafficking. Think about this stuff. It's serious. And Ezekiel talks about merchandising, man stealing, all that stuff. They're going to fall right into that. The world is. But that remnant over there is going to see some things, say, hey, stay away from it. Stay away from that. You think they're going to have some hard times over there? You as a believer, standing up for dispensational truths in the King James Bible, well, I tell people all the time, once you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again, you're in a battle. Mm-hmm. Then when you start standing for the Word of God, right to divide it, and Pauline distinct ministry of Pauline truths, the war is going to wage. And you're going to go to war. And Paul uses military terms in his writings about standing and putting armor on and a sword of truth and a helmet. You're going to have to stand. And it's going to be tough. I think about the guy we met down at the conference, Ray. I don't know if Jake's met him or not, but he lives up here towards Ravenna area, up in that area. He had his uncle, his aunt, his wife, and him. And he's been studying under Les Feltic, you know, just looking at some things. And he showed me his chart that he drove. You know, he says, the Amish, well, how do you call them when they mark you and void you?
Shunning.
His whole family. And you could tell the aunt and the wife are sitting there so humble amongst themselves. I said, it's going to be rough on you. Mm-hmm. I said, you're not going to have your kids. You're not going to have your moms and dads. That's when you know what you put your faith in. Mm-hmm. See, that happens today. It's going to happen over there too. And in chapter 3, and what I'm getting at is, you still stand. Because, like you said on the onset, there's got to be something right if you're resisting. If you're being put on the battlefield and they're like, wait a minute, this can't be right. Well, it is right when they start attacking you. Many of you know my testimony. I always wanted, when I first come to understand this truth in 93, and I was warring with baptism and altar calls. Oh, they got to have baptism, and they got to have altar calls. And when I took the Word of God and underlined it everywhere, it said baptize and baptism, and it don't mean water, I had to make a decision. And all I want to be is right with God. I can be wrong with myself, and me and you can be wrong with each other, but I don't want to be wrong with God.
Amen.
You know, He is right no matter what. He's the just and justifier. And in chapter 3, they warn about those who will scoff at the time element, the delay in the prophetic program, which produce scoffers. Hey, in the dispensation of grace, before I get there, right quick, in the dispensation of grace, are they any scoffers with you guys? Are they any scoffers? Oh, yeah, you say, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is long-suffering right now. Long suffering. Do people say you worship Paul, that type of thing? There are going to be scoffers there in ages to come. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some men count slackness, but in long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but they all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 15. And the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. So listen, the long-suffering God is explained in the ministry of Apostle Paul. That's what God is doing today. He's long-suffering. It's grace and peace. It's not wrath and judgment. He's long-suffering long. And it's you know, like I said, you got to be thankful for that, but there's going to come a day. And I don't know if you listen to Brother David Reed's message. He said something about, you know, the fullness of Gentiles come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many of us was thinking about that last Gentile gets saved, then we're out of here. You ever thought about that last Gentile not being saved? You ever thought about the fullness of the Gentiles? You think the majority of the Gentiles are praising God the Creator right now through His Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
They're rebellion. Again, they're following the God of this world. So what if there's 100,000 people on this earth and they just refuse God's word? Fullness of the Gentiles. You know what I mean? So it could work, but one of them could be the fact that, hey, when the last Gentiles say we're out of here, or the other one could be when the Gentiles totally reject the word of God, we're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you thought about that. Don't give up. Don't give up sharing the gospel, because we have loved ones right now that don't know nothing about being saved. Many of you shaking your head, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That Peter was written to help them grow in an understanding of why their prophecy program was delayed, and explanation of that is what was committed to Paul. A dispensational issue. This is why Peter closes the book with a verse everyone likes to quote, verse 18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. When Paul was meeting with Peter and he explained to him the delay of the kingdom postponed, showed to him that God has not failed in His lacking, Peter writes this book over here. To explain to these people over here what God is doing. So in 2 Peter, they admonish to add to their faith virtue. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, I know I'm going a little long, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's talking about glory in the virtue. He adds to the faith of virtue. Virtue is knowledge. Knowledge is temperance. To temperance, patient. To patience, glorious. Godliness. Godliness to brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness to charity. They're building on each other. And they start out with faith, resting in the cross, with the understanding of what it does for them. Then their confidence in Christ motivates them to go on and bring forth works necessary to the kingdom and in their conduct. We got a long way more to go, but I'm going to cut it off there. But think about what Peter's talking about for these group of people over here. When that kingdom's trying to get established, when that Antichrist is sitting on the throne of God, when he starts tightening up the screws on the Hebrews, and they run to the wilderness, and they want to be fed by God, and the Gentiles feeds them and all that good stuff, there are going to be people over here wondering, where's God at? You know, why is this happening to me? And Peter writes his books over here to explain the faith of that. And as you grow, you get the confidence. Just like Paul talks about in Romans chapter 5, that tribulation, work of patience, patient experience of hope, and hope needeth not be ashamed. That's a building block as we grow. Listen, your initial salvation today, that when you cross from death to life, you're no longer going to hell, but you're going to heaven. You trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. That's the initial salvation. He saved you from hell. Then the ultimate salvation is the catching away. But there's a salvation in between here. It's called progressive salvation, that you work out your salvation with much fear and trembling. It's not that you're going to fall and, you know, I'm going to hell today because I thought this bad thought or ate this food or whatever the case may be. No, you work out your salvation. That's what you're doing in the body of Christ. We're from this flesh, from this evil day. So you work out yourself. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the same thing over here. They're going to have to work out their, they're going to go through some bad times over here. You and I go through some bad times. But you know what? Where's your focus at? Oh, woe, pitiful me, right? Why ain't I got this? Why ain't I got that? Lord Jesus Christ has provided us everything we need. He said we have all spiritual blessings. There's not one blessing that you can ask for God to give you that you only have. Let's tap into those resources. Listen, we're excited that you guys are with us today. We're excited that people that's watching on our channels. But most of all, when you trust Christ died for your sins, bear rose again. That's something to get excited about. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to spend eternity with each other. Right now we got flaws, don't we? We got excuses. But when we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ in glory forever, we're going to be a happy group of people. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. And thank you for the time and the understanding that we have through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week.